like the sense of, oh, dad is falling apart, and your body is like, oh, like, let me jump in to rescue, let me jump in to save or to help, because it's always crisis mode. Like, especially if you have a parent who has, you know, mental health issues, it's always a crisis mode. Because
what's good? My name's Nuria.
And my name is Caroline. This is the Cathartic Experience.
Two therapists talking about life
in an unfiltered way.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. And welcome to episode 6 of season 2. Today we will be talking about self-sacrificing.
Yeah.
And I lost my voice a little bit, so it sounds a little...
You've been losing your voice.
It sounds a little rough.
Yeah.
I always have to warn my clients. I'm like, by the way, double vaxxed. I'm not dying. And I will accidentally kill you. But yes, how is your morning going before we delve into all this?
You know how my morning is going. I'm wrapped up. I'm the scarf. It's not even that cold in here. But busy.
Busy, my goodness.
Per usual.
It never ends. It really never ends. This morning, I have to get this off my chest. This morning I woke up. Sometimes, like, my brain works in a weird way where I start to remember random things. And then this morning, my mind, I was, like, double-cheeked up on a Tuesday.
What do you mean by double-cheeked up on a Tuesday?
Somebody has a big ass, like, they're double-cheeked up.
Explain.
I heard that from my favorite comedian. He was like talking about how he loves sundresses. Mm. And he's like, are you double cheeked up on a Tuesday morning?
It's so much.
So,
oh my God.
I just had that on repeat in my mind the whole morning. It's only 8 a.m. So that tells you where I'm at.
It's barely 8 a.m. Barely. So, but yeah. How's been your week though?
It's been busy. It's I feel like, because I'm not a very regimented or structured person, I'm a little too spontaneous with my time. Mm. So, like, anything is possible at any hour.
Okay, and which just, means that...
But I could, like, be working at 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. I could be going out with someone at 10 p.m. Like, it just...
Yeah,
my
you
day,
get home at 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what day of the week. I remember on Wednesday, I had met someone... And it was like, I met up with them at like 9:10 p.m. and we were talking. It was like 11:10 and I was like, oh, so any bars open till 2 a.m. And they're like, Nuria, it's a Wednesday. And I'm like, oh, so they don't be, oh, okay. The world sleeps before I do. So that's what I'm on.
But you also, you can function on like 4 hours of sleep.
I can. I like being
that's
awake.
A nap.
Yay.
It's like one REM cycle.
It's a thick nap for me though.
Yeah. But you can function on that. I feel like
true.
I'm the complete opposite of that, where I need sleep, very regimented.
That I know. We're at opposite sides of the spectrum. I'm just too loose. You're too
rigid. Yeah. And so somehow we meet in the middle.
True.
To run this practice.
True. But I think self-sacrifice is a topic that came up because it's something that we see so often.
Oh, so much. All the time.
Yeah. Right. And it's just like some people's lives are based around who they are for other people and what they could provide for other people.
Bruh, so much. Right. To the point sometimes it's like they lose themselves in that.
Exactly. And I think a good place to start would be kind of... You know, some of the family of origin stories that tend to, you know, create like the landscape for someone to become.
To become
very self-sacrificing. Yeah. The one we see quite a bit is like the parentified child, which is basically a child who has to take on adult responsibilities well before they're an adult. So either having a very irresponsible parent or parents who kind of work way too much.
A lot.
Yeah.
Or being the eldest sibling.
Yeah, and having to take care of their younger siblings.
Yeah.
And it's just the sense of having to almost like sacrifice your entire childhood. In order to do these adult things, like, you know, cooking, cleaning, driving people places, scheduling things for people, and
being responsible for you know, your younger siblings. It's
or even some, you know, I've met some people where it's like I was responsible to pay my parents' bills for them when they were incapable, when they were very kind of depressed and they couldn't take care of themselves. So that provides a huge landscape. I couldn't imagine being a kid and not getting to be a kid.
Right.
If that's one thing I had the privilege of being, was an actual child when I was supposed to be a child. Like the whole wake up, you know, choose your little cereal, pour it in your bowl while you watch your little TV show, and you don't have to care about
someone
else
or
these responsibilities.
Yeah.
I like that would cause a lot of stress and anxiety if you're worrying about, hey, I'm 8 years old and mom is giving me money to go to the corner store to buy food because I can't rely and depend on her to do that for me.
Right. So, or some of them, it's just the circumstances just makes it so that they become the ones that are responsible. Like a parent who is struggling with addictions or, you know, a parent who is ill.
Right.
And it's like they have to fall into that role very early. Yeah.
Right. And it's this thing that I feel like in those circumstances, you're almost wired to be in a very kind of like survival mode. Like the sense of, oh, dad is falling apart, and your body is like, oh, like, let me jump in to rescue. Let me jump in to save or to help, because it's always crisis mode. Like, especially if you have a parent who has, you know, mental health issues, it's always a crisis mode because especially depending on the level of severity and if it's of a high severity, you know, there's this sense of kind of like being on edge, like when's the next time they're gonna roll up drunk in here and tripping and falling all over the place, and I'm gonna
have to be ready
to take care of them because they can't care for themselves. So a lot of people are almost very wired in that way, where their kind of nervous system is like, get prepared for a disaster or someone not being able to keep themselves together.
Right. Or we can even speak about like certain expectations that parents have, right? You're the, if you are the eldest sibling and it is, you know, part of the cultural background, it's like, no, you are responsible for these people.
You are responsible. This is my issue, because I've seen, and you know, I'm the type of person where it's like, yeah, I understand culture, but like, let's put culture on the back burner for a moment and let's pay attention to the human being behind the culture.
Right.
As an eldest child, your parents are not supposed to pawn off your siblings on you.
Right.
You are not the person who had the child or the children. It was your parents who had them. So I always hear these narratives where it's like, the parents have like 2, 3, 4, 5 kids in addition to the eldest one. And then they're sitting here like, well, you're the eldest one. Take care of all these other kids I've created while I've absolved all my responsibility as a parent.
Right. I'm working or I'm out or...
And I understand that you're working, but at the same time...
Like you decided to have all them kids.
Why create a responsibility you can't handle? What if your eldest passed away? What if your eldest had difficulties of their own and you had all these other kids to tend to? What would happen to them if the eldest wasn't who they were and wasn't capable to take care of the kids?
Right. Because then, you know, as the eldest child or as the person who has developed these self-sacrificing tendencies, usually they've internalized it, right? To the point that they continue carrying these patterns, like, after childhood, after adolescenthood, and to their adulthood.
Right.
Right?
Right. And I think that another kind of landscape that creates grounds for self-sacrificing is, you know, abusive situations, of course, mm-hmm. where, you know, especially emotional, psychological, physical, sexual, whatever it is, the sense of if I give enough of myself, if I, you know, do enough to be seen as good or like, then I can almost like protect myself.
Right.
I can protect myself in a way. So sometimes for some people, self-sacrificing is very protective because if you give somebody what they want, then that gives them less chance to be like angry with you.
Right.
Or to be disappointed by you or
to hurt you.
Hurt you verbally, mentally, physically, whatever it is. So, abuse is also grounds for those self-sacrificing tendencies to come up to. I think one of the saddest things about the self-sacrificing pattern or way of being is that, you know, I truly believe that kids are very, young people, kids are actually very free-spirited and very spontaneous and very open, and they love to explore, and kids are very naturally curious.
Right.
And when you encounter any of the circumstances that, like, we kind of just spoke about, it kind of robs your being able to engage in that ignorance is bliss. Kids are blissful because they don't know shit about how the world works yet. You know?
You
force them into such like realistic ways of being that they don't get as wrapped up in their fantasy and their play or spontaneity as they're supposed to be as children. Like, someone who's self-sacrificing is always paying attention to what do I do for others, but it's also very like technical and practical.
Right.
It's not like how do I have fun with others, you know what I mean? It's usually like how do I care for, how do I manage, nurture. How do I nurture, that right. type
how
of
do
thing
I protect
too. Yeah, so it's really difficult for them, I find oftentimes, especially some of the clients I work with, to feel like they can relax or like think of themselves first.
They've never had that.
They've never been able to think
They've never been
first.
Able to think of themselves first. And I think that not everyone should be a parent. And I think that a lot of people believe that kids don't understand some things, when it's like kids absorb a lot more information than you think.
Right?
They pick up on a lot more than you think, even if they don't have the wording to make sense of it, but it's like they're paying attention, you know? And so for that to be the beginning of the life of someone, especially when it's wrapped up into child molestation or sexual abuse, like that shifts someone's entire development.
Right.
You know?
Right. It is absolutely insane.
It is.
Kind of the, you know, and going to that, yeah, not everyone's meant to be parents at all.
Right.
There are some people where it's like, you know, I've always, the controversy. But you know what? I think what I think. Tis what it is. I'm still going to say it out loud.
What you finna say?
You don't have to agree or disagree with it. But, you know, for the longest time, even growing up by myself, in my own mind, not influenced by the outside, I was just sitting there like, people don't get screened for having kids?
No.
Like, it seems like it's the biggest response. Like,
it is the biggest. For the next 18 years. For the next 18 years and beyond.
I think the most disheartening thing is that if you are a very incapable parent, you can harm someone for life.
Yeah, you can.
Mentally, psychologically, how they think about themselves, how they experience things. And I don't want to say that all mental health comes from attachment. Some of it is very genetic, but a lot of it is nurtured through attachment as well. So if it's like, if you're incapable of attuning to your child or being present or even managing your own shit, why are you having kids, bro? Like for me, it's like an actual like question for some people. I literally want to sit down with them and be like, you could have just wrapped it up and called it a day.
We wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, there are some people too, like, I don't want to take away from the people where having a child has actually changed them or challenged them to confront themselves and to change things. And they've taken responsibility to be better for their child. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about the people who continue to be destructive. Man. And then project all these things onto their children and then just make their children's lives hell anyways. Anyways.
Right.
But yeah, with the self-sacrificing, I think there are pros to every way of being. And I think that, you know, we could also think about the ways in which being a self-sacrificer is actually a good thing. So for example, being able to like plan contingencies, like you plan for contingencies, you know, they're always prepared,
right? Very diligent.
It's very anything can go wrong. Another thing I really admire about self-sacrifice is you literally have so much empathy. You can look at another person and anticipate their needs. How magic is that? Even if they don't speak
right
to you, and it doesn't because have to be
you're
a child.
Paying attention and you're very sensitive to other people.
And being sensitive to other people is actually such in a lot of cases a really good thing, because it means that you're able to be present for, you know, whoever it is in a very kind of active way,
right?
Very active way, very attuned, very just kind of
understanding.
And another thing too I appreciate is, you know, the sense of, you know, sacrifice is actually a big concept. In order to sacrifice, you have to be able to like surrender a part of yourselves. And oftentimes we meet people who are so stubborn.
Right.
That they're not willing to compromise. But I think someone who's very self-sacrificing compromises easily, maybe a little too much.
Too much.
But they are able to compromise and be like, okay, it's not all about my need. It's about your need.
But I think sometimes they feel like they have like an exaggerated view of the responsibility they have to hold about others. And that's where it becomes a problem, right? Like you give so much, like the ratio is off.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not able to put these boundaries with people.
Exactly. That's a really good point. I think, you know, I just wanted to focus on the positive for a moment, because you know, it's not all bad to be a self-sacrificing person, but I would say something challenging when it comes to that is this kind of fusion. And infusion is when, you know, people get really caught up in each other's lives to the point where those boundaries are blurred and there's no distinction in you versus I. It's you and I all the time. Right. So what ends up happening is that their emotion becomes the other person's emotion becomes their emotion, and they feel like they have to fix it when it's actually the other person's emotion. So they're always responsible for even the internal kind of exchanges that happen. And I would have to say that, interestingly enough, generally, I was a self-sacrificer in one of my first more serious relationships from the place of insecurity.
Okay.
I was like, I'm so insecure, I don't think I'm good enough for you, so I'm going to put everything I have into your basket and hopefully that will be enough. And the fusion thing started to happen, where it was like that person's emotional, internal state, even if it had nothing to do with me.
Right.
If they were in a mood, I was like, what can I do to fix
it? You wanted to tend to it.
Is it my fault? Is it my fault that I caused this? How can I make you feel better? Then I'm just like chill. Like, I'm just trying to like sit over here. I've had a bad day with my parents. It was to the point where we were at a restaurant and Mance was just moody because
he was moody.
Yeah, he didn't had a whole argument with his parents, and then I met him right after. But I was so fused.
You were caught up.
I wasn't listening to him. He said it wasn't my fault. But sitting there and seeing him all kind of pent up and kind of irritated, I couldn't help but take it personally, and it felt like it was my fault, that I felt guilty, and then I felt sad, and then I started crying. I ruined the whole evening. But it shows you how, you know, when boundaries get tied up, or when there's a sense of being responsible or feeling responsible for another person's emotions, that it could actually, you know, be very, like, counterproductive to, like, try to fix something that's actually not your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that sometimes too, self-sacrificing people, sometimes they may view themselves as very supportive, but they're actually very enabling, which is an issue. Like, let's not normalize enabling.
Right.
Because, for example, if you have a dysfunctional partner, or if your partner's engaging with you in certain ways that are harmful to your own self, at some point, you putting up with that, you sacrificing yourself for that, is just allowing the person to continue to do what they're doing. They're not learning from that. They're not becoming a better person from that. They're actually just the same person, and you've allowed them to just be trash.
Right. And sometimes it's, oof. It's sometimes it's really really bad, you know,
really
in terms
bad.
Of the relationship, right? And then when they're starting to put these boundaries with their partners or with their family, it's like, whoa, what's going on here? You used to do this for me, you're switching up, you're being different, you know, when it's like, this is actually a good thing that I'm putting boundaries.
Right. Let's actually get to that. I think that the part before that part is self-sacrificing people tend to, and I think this is, you know, quite generally, but because they're so bad at tending to themselves, it's a lot of, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I'm sad, but I don't know why.
Right. I'm working 70 hours a week. I go to school. I have a child.
I'm stressed, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's like honey bun.
Honey bun bun.
Oh.
Do you not see it? Yeah.
You are not limitless.
Right.
You're not a superhuman.
Mm-hmm.
You have your limits too.
Right. Right.
You have your limits too. So they'll experience all these things emotionally, physically. A lot of their issues actually do manifest health-wise. If someone who's a self-sacrificer tends to like feel it in their bodies before it clicks in their brain for some reason. So it's a lot of like chronic pain,
but it is so,
a lot of digestive issues, that type of thing.
It's so hard for them to actually take a step back and say like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like, they will take a day off to go to the doctors with their child. They will take a day off to fix something with their cars. But when it comes to themselves, they're the worst at taking care of them.
I couldn't imagine taking a day off from me. What would I even do with my time?
Yeah.
I feel guilty. Guilty is the biggest thing when it comes to like self-care and boundaries. Let's talk about the self-care thing first. Yeah. Self-sacrificers have a very tough time tending to themselves and making time for themselves.
They don't view it necessarily in their brain as a priority.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, you know, at the back somewhere in a box.
But they'll crash and burn and pick up the next day.
Such and such needs me. They need me.
They need me. But you need you, though.
You need you. Right.
Because at the end of the day, if you can't rely and depend on your own self, then no one else can to the extent that you want them to.
Exactly.
So if your cup is empty,
all the way, ain't nothing in there.
Glass completely empty.
The glass is broken.
The glass is cracked.
Ain't nothing going on.
Water's spilling out of it.
You can't help nobody.
You can't help no. So the challenge for you self-sacrificers listening to this right now is literally, whether you want to or not, take a day off. You have to learn how to be with yourself. Right. And I think that's the biggest thing too. When you get so caught up in this world of being a provider for other people, you actually oftentimes lose a sense of who you are, what you want, and what you need.
Right.
So you end up disconnected from your own self to the point where spending time alone is not a fruitful activity. Mm-hmm. It's actually something very distressing because it feels so empty and you can't figure out why.
Right. And that's very much the reason why you're disconnected from your own body, right, from your own
mind, thoughts, emotions.
Yeah.
And a good place to start sometimes, especially with self-sacrifices, is daily journaling.
Man.
Literally introducing you to yourself,
mm-hmm,
through writing down what your thoughts or feelings are. And of course, when it comes to feelings and stuff like that, figuring that out, if you need guidance, go see a therapist, go see a mental, mm-hmm, health professional, whoever it is, to get more in touch with who you are. But that's the part of the task in reworking this kind of narrative that, mm, I have to give up absolutely everything in every single one of, right, my relationships, because it's not fucking healthy.
It really isn't at all. Yeah, it really
at
isn't.
All. And you were talking about the boundary thing before, like setting boundaries and the
setting
guilt.
Boundaries is hard.
Setting boundaries
because people push back on those boundaries. Like, you used to do this at that for me. And now you mean to tell me you're not going to do none of it?
People get angry. And one thing I always tell people is, you know, in this journey, in this therapy, especially if you're a self-sacrificer,
mm,
you are going to have to tolerate people not, yeah, liking you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You are going to have to tolerate people feeling negative emotion towards you.
And that is okay.
And it is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult. But at the same time, you're here in therapy asking me for help.
Right.
So what are you willing to do?
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes people are, they've been in it for so long that it's really hard to kind of like reinvent themselves.
And I think the most beautiful part about getting to be a therapist, getting to see that pattern, but also, mm-hmm, helping people challenging it, is that you see what they experience when they challenge that,
right,
for the first time. You know, I've had clients before, even this teenage client who had a, you know, mom with a personality disorder, depressive episodes, all this stuff. Her mom would throw these tantrums, and before, she would feel the need to kind of help her mom, you know, through the tantrums. But in the end, it was just emotionally exhausting. And, mm, the tantrums didn't really get resolved. So it was just like you're throwing yourself into the shit show.
Right.
And you come out of the shit show feeling like, shit, I wonder why.
Right.
And then once her mom was throwing a tantrum, and she's like, oh, she sat there in that moment. She was like, I'm not feeling good right now.
Mm.
I'm feeling hyperactivated. I'm feeling a mixture of just like overwhelmed and numb all at the same time.
Mm.
I can't do this. And in that moment, she got up, went to her room, and closed the door.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom was outside of the door. Let me in, let me in. And she was just like, I'm just gonna sleep this one off. She woke up the next day, she's like, I feel very guilty because I've always been in a role where I felt like I had to save my mom.
Right.
But I was able to save myself.
Mm, that's powerful.
In that moment. And now she is like having fun,
mm-hmm,
being so autonomous, making her own decisions, challenging, mm-hmm, herself. So sometimes it's not even like a big event that happens. It's like the small choices you make about how you let other people treat you and how you treat yourself,
mm-hmm,
are going to do wonders in challenging this way of being.
Right. Right. I've had clients who just, they're so deep in it,
mm,
that it's like, let's just start with small things. Maybe not picking up the phone every time your parent calls you multiple times a day.
Exactly.
You know, let's maybe pick up once. Let's just once.
Yo, I've had clients block their parents, put them on silent.
Yeah, I'm like, put your phone on do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Don't disturb my peace today.
They might need me. They might. Nah. They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
They'll be fine.
If there's an emergency, you will hear about it through your other siblings.
Yeah.
You know?
If it's that deep,
if it, it'll get around. Because usually it's not.
What one of my biggest, you know, just boundary setting things for myself, especially, I think university was a saving grace in that it was a lot of time I could spend outside of home.
Oh, like, it meant university.
Working.
Because it was school, a reason.
Being at school, staying with friends after school, going to Rideau.
The
shopping center.
Food court was our spot.
Our spot. We would sit in the food court for like
hours.
Hours. But
anybody could tell us nothing.
Exactly. And it was like, that's how I got fat. Anyways, So creating that physical boundaries was one big thing. And second, like, I had my parents on block. I blocked their numbers for a little bit because they were becoming overwhelming with their calling and text messages. And I'm like, I can't do this. It's not good for my own mental health. So boundary setting is gradual. It's small, but it's possible.
Right. Of course it is.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, people are not going to like you.
And that's okay.
People are, if you are setting a boundary to protect your own health and your own mental health, right, and someone says, how dare you, what does that say about how much they value you?
Yeah. That's a lot.
How much they, because your function in their world was this fountain of just giving.
Right.
So you were always accessible. You always supported them. You always gave them things. So duh. That way of being always benefited them.
Right.
So now that you no longer benefit them, who are you to them?
But it's like, isn't it sad that, like, that's the thing that's holding the relationship together? The fact that you give to them so much and you sacrifice so much for them?
Sometimes self-sacrificers have to leave relationships.
Yeah, straight up.
And I've had clients leave marriages. And after they leave it, they're like, I can't believe I didn't see the shit storm before. And now that I'm out of it, of course I'm grieving the loss of a relationship, but holy do I feel a whole lot better.
A whole different person.
Like a whole different person.
I've had client cut off family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like the only thing I was giving to you and that was, you know, maintaining this relationship was me giving you money.
Exactly.
And once I've decided to not do that, you don't call me no more.
Exactly.
Hey, it's, yeah.
So it's all about tolerating the fact that not everybody is gonna like you. And it's something that we actually all have to face. And, you know, oftentimes it is a journey of going from giving too many fucks to none at all.
And we're not saying not at all, but a more balanced.
Yeah. You know? Like, I give a fuck about you, but I give a fuck about me too.
Yeah. The equal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amount.
It's balance. Balance is the word of the day. Balance.
Balance.
The balance.
That French.
But yeah. So I hope that clarified something about self-sacrificing,
pros, what it looks
cons,
like,
what it looks like, how to kind of challenge things. But yeah, like, if you ever need more support, please allow yourself to seek out this type of help too, because, you know, it's a pattern that is hard to break. It is a pattern that is hard to break, and you may need someone on your team to do that. So what is the question of the day?
Are you a self-sacrificer?
If so, what are you going to do about it? But yeah, that's literally the question. But yes, we hope you enjoyed this and we hope you have a wonderful day. And with this, we leave you with...